Welcome to Liberate Your Authentic Self with Dr. Andrea Pennington, the prescription for living your life out loud. Tune in daily to get fired up with insight and inspiration for purposeful living, conscious relationships, and soulful success. Hey there, it's Dr. Andrea here, host of Liberate Your Authentic Self. I'm really excited to tell you about a new book that we're bringing to the world called Time to Rise, featuring 29 inspiring changemakers from around the world, including Malcolm Outloud and Missy Crutchfield and Yvette Taylor, two co-hosts of Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, along with a few guests you may have heard on my show, to celebrate the power and the resilience of the human spirit. I'm bringing you short interviews with many of the authors in a special Ask the Author series. So, Jesper, thank you so much for being with us for this special Ask the Author series.
Thank you very much for joining.
So, I am really curious, before we get into your major transformation, I'd like to start at the beginning of your Olympic career. Tell me a little bit about the sport that you competed in.
Yeah, I'm a sailor, and I started as a young boy. With an optimist, it's a little dinghy that you sailed in, and I'm actually quite afraid of sailing, so I dropped out quite early and returned to the sport 4 years later. So I was quite grown up when I really started competing and discovered that I had a talent for sailing. And it was such a big journey to go into that kind of competition, because I was good in a national boat, dinghy, and then I came to a level where I had to decide, should I try to bring it up to the very top? And I had a good friend that I'd known since I was a little kid, and I asked him, should we join and try to make an Olympic campaign? And we had it actually for a very short time. We decided in the spring of 1999, and the Olympics was in 1992. So we had only 2 years to get together, to cooperate, to learn a new boat, to handle it, and make those qualifications that we should. We should be in the top eight in the world for qualifying to the Olympics.
Wow.
And we did it within 1 year.
See, so that was in 1990? Was when you made the decision. And within 1 year, you were already ready to qualify?
Yeah.
Wow.
8 months, 11 months we did it in. And then we had our internal national qualification where we are sailing 30 individual competitions or regatta races. And we won 27 of those. So we were quite good at that time.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And so what happened at the Olympics?
Oh, I'm a very gentleman or polite person. We had exactly 18 ahead of us and 18 behind of us. So we were 19 at the Olympics. And it was okay. Of course, I would love to have the medal around my neck and such thing. But the weather conditions at the Olympics in Barcelona were held. Was very light wind, and we were better in a little more when the breeze was a little higher, so it was okay. And we had a fantastic it was a fantastic feeling to be there and see, wow, this is really big. When you see it in the television, it's big. But being there, it was wow. And when you come from Little Denmark, it was really wow. I was standing next to Ben Johnson. Actually, at that time, he was taken for doping. But Carl Lewis was there.
Wow.
And I was sitting next to him. For me, he was such a big star, and he is. Competing to little Jesper coming from Denmark. So it was really funny. And funny to see the scale of people, that very small people gymnastics girls. They are so small. And then the basketball players were coming from US. It was the first time that the dream team entered the Olympics because it went from being an amateur to professional athletes, which were allowed to participate that time. So the dream team, it was the first time they were there. And everyone was just, wow. So it was really fantastic.
So I bet that was. I can only imagine what an amazing experience that would be. But you described in your chapter of Time to Rise, and the title of your chapter is, How Could I Be Stressed? I'm an Olympic athlete. But
yeah.
What's interesting to me, though, is you talk about having a really competitive spirit. So after that Olympics, what else have you done competition-wise?
10 years before, I'd been competing all up to the Olympics, and then I changed boat, so I couldn't go to the Olympics because the boat I sailed in before wasn't an Olympic class.
Ah, I see.
So that's the swap that I made. After the Olympics, I still was sailing 2 more years, but I also discovered that the background I had, it couldn't, sailing is a non-profit sport, so you don't earn anything. So it had been better with tennis or something else. So I had to have a career in the labor market. Mm-hmm. So I could earn some money to myself, and if I wanted a family, I really wanted a family, and I had taken such a lot of things that I couldn't do when I was focusing in this Olympic campaign, mm-hmm. then there's a lot of things you had to say no to.
Sure.
For reaching your goal. So I discovered that, and I was 30 years old, and I thought that, oh, you had to have this job that you can live off for the rest of your life.
Sure.
And might also find a girl that want to live together with you and have kids with and such thing. So it was time for that.
Right.
And I felt with 15 years of sailing and competing, that it was time to do something else.
But you did actually enter into another very intense and competitive field, and that is the banking industry.
Yeah, I was in the period where I was sailing and making the Olympic campaign, I was employed in the bank.
Okay.
And they were very, very kind to me and said, Jesper, we know it's your passion. You have made a goal. You can travel as much as you want, as long as you just inform us a month before. You don't get any salary when you're gone. But I've had about 130 traveling days a year when I was traveling around to regattas or such thing. So I can come and go to that job.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it wasn't a job that satisfied me that much, but I had the freedom to do
it. Yeah, that's important. So going from being lowly compensated athlete into the banking industry. But in your chapter of the book, In Time to Rise, you talk about your experience that was very surprising for you at first, because you started to feel the intense pressure of doing the work that you were doing in another company. Tell us a little bit about that. What were the first signs of stress?
First sign where I felt that I could make a change in the company and give some good experience to my customers and the things, the persons that when I came out with this product that I had, I was a cash management advisor in the bank, mm-hmm. which was in the period where you began to have office banking and such things, electronic banking systems. And go out and introduce you as a company, saying now you can make all your payments at home, at work, don't go to the bank, you can view all your accounts and you can view them if you have different banks, and see this smile on people saying, oh, that's new, and it's helped me a lot, and oh, can I really do that? Yeah, that's really good for me. It was such a pleasure going out with that. And then it was in the very beginning, and then it started getting bigger.
Hmm.
because suddenly they have some economic systems as Oracle that was merged into the bank's system, so you can sit in as a bookkeeper, make all your booking, and it automatically went to the bank and all information for the bank into this. And all this IT and education of the users and make some setups and such thing, it was really interesting, and it was new business all the time. So because it wasn't that common at that time. So it was really interesting.
But when you weren't able to satisfy, as you say, satisfy your customers, you weren't feeling like you were able to deliver that product. How did that make you feel? And how did that end up precipitating into you really having to leave the job?
This was it's a long story. but after years there, I changed to this job I had had for the last 7 years, where I was a financial advisor in leasing products, and came to a new environment. And it was here that I felt that I could do everything. I was really good at my job. I had a new customer that it didn't work, and we found out that if we not fight against each other, we could increase our business. He could increase his, and I could do in my job in the bank. And when we cooperate, we suddenly thought that there were two and two could be five.
Okay.
So we could see, okay, it's good for me if we cooperate. And he thought the same thing. And then we built it up. And that was really was hard work because it wasn't easy. But then we increased it to something good that gave a good shareholder value, if you can say so.
Mm-hmm. But eventually you mentioned that some of the sales force on the other side, they weren't exactly happy with what you were doing. And that created the friction?
Yeah. When I had made this success, I was chosen to take another partner and customer. And it was there when I started. There were been three other key account managers on that job. And then I said, yes, but please help us. We know you can change the environment. You can change and make it good. Would you please take this company? Mm. And it was here it started, really, for good. I was there for 3.5 years, where I really worked, and tried to learn them how to work. It's easy for me to say I should learn them how to work. But according to the legal law, and such thing, because they didn't do that. You have to do it the right way, even though that it's easier the other way around, but the government and the law will come and say, you are doing something illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not very satisfied about that. And the management team at that customer thought it was really good that I came with it officially, but they didn't make this kind of backup for me, showing that you're actually doing it right. And the bank didn't that either. And suddenly I was standing alone, but I had a really good manager at that time saying, Jesper, I know that you are doing an extraordinary good job, and I will stand by you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he had a manager below him, and he was fighting my case when I came back and say, I do have some challenge here, and what do I do? And he supported me. But nearly 2 years ago, suddenly he had a new job, and he was fired. He then managed to find another job very fast, and his manager and our CEO was fired. So suddenly I had no one to cover me up, if you can say so.
Yeah.
And the customer that I had, those sales guys, they were very much against this corporation.
Mm.
So they tried to undermine me all the time, and their language was so bad that actually at the company sent them to learn to speak nice to your colleague.
Oh my heavens.
Bosses. And then I come from an external consultant to them, and should be a part of them, and it was so unpolite all the way around.
When we get back from the break, I'd like to hear about the breaking point, because I think many of us can relate to being in an office environment or a corporate environment where there are these kinds of tensions. So when we get back from the break, let's pick it up there.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome to the new era in talk radio, America Out Loud, providing you with diverse voices, heated discussions, and honest opinions about life, love, politics, health, and well-being. Discover the Out Loud perspective to society and lifestyle, politics, your faith and spirituality, personal development, and living an out loud life. You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with Dr. Andrea Pennington. So what would it be like if you're doing your best and you're working your little butt off in a company trying to achieve a good result, but suddenly everyone is trying to undermine your efforts, so much so that they're even speaking in language that is utterly offensive? Well, my guest today, he was living in just such a circumstance. But hey, he was a former Olympic athlete. He should be able to handle stress, right? Well, unfortunately, after dealing with such a hostile environment, he eventually reached a breaking point. So Jesper, thank you again for being with us. Before we went to the break, you were just telling me about how some of your colleagues literally were sent away to a class to learn how to speak nicely to their colleagues. So it sounds like things really got to a point where the pressure was getting to you because you really wanted to do a good job, but pretty soon you had no allies. So tell me about what were you experiencing physically and emotionally?
Actually, I didn't discover it myself that I was going in such a pressure. I just took an extra hour a day just for getting up to try to finish my work. Uh-huh. And when I come home from work, my wife, she starts saying, Jesper, relax, relax, you're not at work now. And if my phone called, I took it and said, yes, I can do it, and such thing. And she said, Jesper, in Denmark, we normally have work from 8 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I could take the phone at 11 o'clock and, in the evening and say, yeah, okay, I'll help, and such thing. She said, it has to stop because you're more aggressive. Mm-hmm. Also, when you're coming home, not on speed or such thing, but you are hyper actions at the moment. You can't relax.
Wow.
And I hadn't had any holidays for a long time. She said, now it's time to have a holiday. And I did. And when I came back to work, I could see how much work there was left to me and no one had helped me. I could see, suddenly I saw, there's no one helping you.
Yeah.
And you can't take this pressure. And I came home to my wife and said, it's totally a mess. I was away for 6 days and now it's complete. She said, yes, but it's not me or your job, but nearly that. And say, you have to go to the doctor and say, explain what's happening, because you are so stressed in your mind and body. So, and I asked her, please give me 2 days just for finish the customers and help the customers.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll do it. And when I came to the doctor, he said, your mind is so fucked up. Sorry. in Denmark, so you had to stop working immediately.
So your, the doctor is telling you this. They're telling you that's
it's
it.
Totally.
Wow.
And it was first there I really discovered how far out of normal business I were.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, you had to relax. You had to do some exercise. And absolutely not using your mobile phone or that thing, because your mind had to be reset, if you can say so, as a computer. And when I came home to my wife and told her, and she said, yes, I could have told you a long time ago, but you had to learn it by yourself. Mm-hmm. But I could see you couldn't. So I had to set this break.
Wow.
And then I started exercise, and then she discovered that a former Olympian or Olympic athlete can't exercise without it's full speed or nothing. So she gave me such a watch where I could count my steps and say, now we have to take a walk.
Okay.
And so you had the your exercise, because if you do as I would have done with full speed on the bike and running and such thing, she said, then you're stressing your body more than necessary, because your brain and your body is stressed, and now you will do it with hard physical sport. That's no good.
Yeah. And so she gave you a pedometer and you started just walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I walked very much in that period. And I walked so much, so one of our friends or neighbors in the Hood said, Jesper, had you lost your driving license because you're walking all the time? And then I had to just to speak a little bit, say I'm actually ill. I was so embarrassed of not to handle my job.
Yeah.
And I felt ashamed and all the things, saying, you're used to have a high pressure. You have... could being a top athlete, you know when and how you had to make the best results.
Yeah, but you were an athlete in a team sport, right? So you had another person who was cooperating. In this situation, you were working with a team that was totally against you in a really high pressure situation. But it sounds like you weren't able to give yourself a break at all.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. It was really good for me to get more calm and relaxed. And my wife also said that, Jesper, you need some help, because I can see you can't handle it by yourself. So I went to a psychology and
psychologist, yes.
Yeah, and therapist also start telling how to handle my mind and all the thoughts I have of in my mind, so I could be more relaxed. And the first one, the chemistry between us wasn't that good. It went more to it was nice to be there and small talk, but I didn't get any tools to work with. And then I changed to another one, and suddenly she spoke the language I understood. And then I was starting to get some tools to how to handle things. And like I always been a fighter, so if I couldn't make the solution, I could fight all the time and try to see if I could make it where she said, Jesper, sometimes you can't handle it. It's out of your hands.
Yeah.
There's something higher making the decisions. So she said, when you can't do this, you can't make any change. Don't take the responsibility on it. Then just why worry?
Wow.
And I still get a smile on my lips when I say, why worry? It's not your responsibility.
So was that easy for you to accept?
No.
Okay. I didn't think it would be.
But I'm not an expert in it, but I'm getting better all the time where I pick up and say, why worry? All this in this period also, I had a little notebook for my wife saying.
Yeah. Tell me about that, because she also encouraged you to just start journaling. And that was also a very transformational tool for you, wasn't it?
It was really, and in the very beginning, sometimes when your wife comes and tells you, I think you should do that, and then I get, no. I know better. But then I started putting some words in it, and just for saying, I've done it.
Right.
And after a week or two, that's got more sentences in it, and then it's got paragraphs and stuff. And after a month, she came back and said, well, look into it. Yeah, okay, you can see. I haven't been writing anything about you, but then it came and said, yes, that's really good. Because your thoughts are coming out, taking you out of your mind, putting in the book, Then you don't have to think about them any longer.
Right.
And that was really good. And then she, after a period of a month, she said, yes, but look of how much you have been writing already. It could actually be starting in a book.
Ooh.
Where you tell your story.
Yeah.
And Jesper has never been very good in writing and reading. I really had a big fight, I've been practicing in learning how to write and read. And I took extra hours as a little kid. I volunteered, said I would like to have extra hours in those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually there I discovered that I had a really good of setting goals and achieve those goals.
Oh, okay.
Because I was good at math and sports and physics and such things, but I couldn't find out of those letters how to set them together and read. And the same with the foreign language. I learned it when I was 20, when I started sailing international, where I like to speak to other people. But she said, Jesper, you can read a book. And I never thought that little kid would never had was very good to putting words into paper should start reading a book. But it was very, very, for me, good therapy. Mm-hmm. Of getting out of the stress.
Yeah,
it was really changing my mind of how to do and what to do.
Yeah.
So it's actually been better than going to a therapist. Of speaking of that I put down my thoughts in paper and started to speak with friends, colleagues, family about being stressed and taking away my pride and showed my vulnerability.
Yeah. Well, it is therapeutic for us to write and share our truth. Even if it's in a journal that no one is going to see, it helps us to just come to terms with those feelings. They exist, and to, I love that your wife Lena, who's also in the book, that she said, "Look, just getting it out of your head is going to reduce kind of the anxiety of keeping it up there."
Yeah.
So your decision to participate in this book project, Time to Rise, that's a big step. You know, it's one thing to be writing in a journal and maybe thinking, okay, maybe someday I'll write a book. But now you're in a book that is reaching a global audience.
Yeah. And for me, when I start putting those words in the little notebook, I also started to having a new passion.
Hmm.
Before, sport is my passion.
Yeah.
But then I suddenly thought that, hey, Jesper, you can actually do some, you can make a difference in the world. You can go out and speak about stress.
Wow.
And a lot of people can talk about stress, but if they haven't been there, they haven't got the emotion and the feelings of being there. And I'm a man. And men doesn't speak emotions or feelings with each other.
Exactly.
When we say, I have really busy on work, I say, yeah, I work 12 hours a day. My friend would say, yeah, I'm also busy. I work 13 hours a day.
Exactly. Yeah,
and we competing with, I can buy a bigger car in you than you. And so I say, we don't talk about feelings like women do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I have to learn Denmark or the world that men have to speak about feelings. Because this world situation is that the pressure on the labor market, you have to work more and be effective, stresses you up.
Yeah.
And you have to take it, prevent stress.
Well, I want to talk about your process of coming out and being able to talk about stress. So when we get back from the break, I'd love to hear what happened the very first time that you kind of shared this with a friend and how you got to where you are today when we get back.
I'd like you to meet Dr. Faye Wilson, change agent, ordained minister, and host of Intentional, right here on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Dr. Faye, America Out Loud is all about the vision of the voices. How can one's voice make the ultimate difference?
The messages of this program and others that are on the Out Loud platform are so powerful that are reaching the world with positive messages. Even as a news platform, it is doing news in a different way so that people are actually standing up and paying attention to what's being said. And again, walking away from the table, having these discussions. I have people, let me tell you this quickly, I have people in my prayer group that are now listening to the Out Loud platform and they're texting me and calling me, go, wow.
But we are excited you're here, AmericaOutLoud.com. Our commitment is clear, to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
How do you pick yourself up when life knocks you down? Perseverance, grit, determination, resilience. These words describe natural human qualities which help us bounce back after any type of setback, illness, loss, betrayal, bankruptcy, divorce, abuse, and trauma. No one is immune to experiencing the tragedies of life at some point. Learning how to use your potential to rise again is what will keep you going. I'm Dr. Andrea Pennington, creator and publisher of Time to Rise. In Time to Rise, 29 inspiring changemakers share their personal stories of transformation to prove that you can reclaim your life, find your purpose, and reemerge as the powerful creator that you are. It can be tempting to think that the people who succeed in life or who recover after major devastating loss
are special or somehow endowed with magical powers. The reality is, within you are the very same powers. You have the potential to live a life of meaning and purpose in alignment with your values. You have the right and the power to reclaim wellness, live with vitality, and enjoy real happiness. Get your copy of Time to Rise and enjoy free gifts with your purchase. May this book help you reconnect to who you really are. May you find peace and hope. May you claim this moment as your time to rise. Visit timetorise.me and buy the book anywhere books are sold. You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington. Check me out on Instagram at Dr. Andrea Pennington. And now, back to the show. Do you feel there is something inside of you? A dream, a message, an idea, just bubbling, tingling, gnawing at you? Perhaps it's the fantasy of living in a new country, or finally feeling free to express yourself in art, or the desire to stop living a lie and come out as the real you. If you have something that keeps you up at night, occupies your mind daily, or creates a sense of angst that you can no longer deny, I've got just the prescription for you. Time to Rise includes a collection of personal stories from 29 coaches, mentors, and healers who dug deep within themselves to strike out on a new path in life. Some of these changemakers were no longer willing to be bound by the confines of cookie-cutter careers, so they broke free from a life of conformity and took flight as entrepreneurs. Some are showing true courage as they challenge societal norms or family traditions to elevate their standards, to live life and love on their own terms, while others demonstrate the immense power and resilience of the human spirit as they show time and again that they will not be held down by others, illness, or rules. They prove that it is possible to bounce back after illness, financial adversity, divorce, and other hardships or loss with grace. And so can you. You are more powerful than you may realize. All of the abilities that you will read about in Time to Rise are also within you. These inspiring stories of transformation will motivate you to cultivate your courage, strength, and confidence to boldly rise up and soar to new heights in your life, relationships, business, and personal well-being. I am truly proud to know these authors, as they have inspired me too. Their willingness to be vulnerable and share their truth has given me even greater motivation to spread their messages of healing, hope, and happiness around the world. Because our world needs these true stories to remind us of our collective and individual strength. Millions of people around our beautiful Earth now recognize that we are one. We are an interconnected family of incredibly unique, dynamic, and resilient spirit beings. As the global awakening spreads, we're being called to share our realizations, to inspire and empower others to wake up and rise up with integrity and authentic power in a peaceful rebellion. By bringing this book to the world, we are coming together to provide encouragement and support to you too. By simply reading this book, you are now connected to a global community of changemakers who are consciously choosing peace, integrity, authenticity, and love as their motivation. You are no longer alone. May you find the encouragement and determination to live your life as your authentic self with confidence, courage, and compassion. May you embark on the next phase of your life journey with joy and conviction. Now is your time to rise. Have you ever felt ashamed to admit that, I don't know, maybe you failed, maybe you fell down in some way, maybe you felt like you let yourself or your family down? Well, my guest today,
He's been there, done that. In fact, when he had to take off from work with a leave of absence due to a stress-related illness, he felt ashamed. He didn't want to tell people that. But guess what? He discovered that by sharing his truth, it opened up a whole new world for him and his friends and his family. So Jesper, thank you again for being here. Your chapter in the book, Time to Rise, is all about, hey, how could I be stressed? I'm an Olympic athlete. And it's really been your willingness to finally share the truth that has totally changed your life for the better, hasn't it?
Definitely. And it's been a very intense journey the last period here.
Yeah.
And coming from being so proud of being working to suddenly not working.
Right.
The embarrassment of not handling your job, that was difficult. And it was very difficult to speak out to family and friends about it.
Because normally, before we went to the break, you were talking about how in the Western world, people will say, oh, you know, I'm working so hard. I'm working like a dog, working 24 hours a day. Or we wear it like it's a badge of honor that we're working so hard and we're under so much pressure. But tell me about the first time that you kind of admitted to someone in conversation that the stress had actually caused you to become ill.
Yeah, I was out on one of my small walks for having this exercise that I promised to do, and I really enjoy today. And I met one of my friends and say, oh, it's the middle of the day. What are you doing? And my wife has told me that you have to open up for getting out of this. So I thought, okay, now I have an opportunity to try to say it. And I can feel my heart was jumping. And then he came and we talked a little bit. And suddenly I say, yeah, actually, I've been home sick leave. With stress for nearly 2 months now. How is your daughter at the moment? Because I know that she was ill, not very ill, but and try to push
just to change the subject,
out of it. So, but he didn't jump into my little trick. So he started, oh, I'm so sad to hear that. And then he started questioning me. Uh-huh. On the very, very good way, with the really good feeling, saying, Jesper, please, why haven't you told me? Because I might be able to help you. I knew that he was the guy I had to tell it to at the very first, but it was such a release.
Wow.
Just to have taken it out of your mouth and said, I'm sick with sick leave with stress. And when I came home and I talked to my wife and said, yeah, I could have told you, but you had to learn by yourself. And not that my wife is an oracle or what you to say, but she is pushing me softly in the right direction. But if she told me, tell me what to do, then it won't get into your body as it should be. So after I had told this friend, I thought, oh, he took it all right. I might try to one more.
Yes.
And slowly I opened up to some friends I have in the yachting club and said, oh, I think it's very, very, you shows very much power when you are talking about that you couldn't handle it and you're vulnerability. It's not nice to hear, but it's really showing that you have a strength that you are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that it should be a strength. That you are vulnerable, suddenly pride was coming back.
Oh.
For instead of being embarrassed of being sick, then showing a kind of emotion or feeling, the pride was coming up, saying, "Yeah, yes, but I went 2 inches higher than I normally was because, okay, they think that it's really thumbs up that you are not afraid of speaking about it."
Mm-hmm.
And that was really good. And then it's slowly starting telling it to everyone. And everyone was like, "Yes, but why didn't you trust us?"
Mm.
And it's such a shame that it's a taboo that men doesn't talk about.
Yeah.
Because actually I'm getting more and more proud that I speak up. I had the courage to speak up about it.
Exactly.
And I can see a lot of people afraid to it. And
yeah.
That's a shame.
So that's part of what the new part of your life is going to be about, right? Is really helping to break the taboo about talking about how we put ourselves under so much pressure to deal with situations that we really don't have to.
Yeah, for me, I can see this passion, see people lighting up
mm-hmm.
when we talk about it. And yeah. suddenly, oh, there's a man that's not afraid of talking about this. Then I might also be able to say that I actually feel a little bit stressed because Jesper, an Olympic athlete, can tell that he couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Then it's not that embarrassing that I speak up also.
Yeah.
I had a few persons have come to me and asked me, "How did you do and how did you feel it's coming?" And I say, "I'm so sorry. I discovered when it came, but in the situation, I actually didn't
mm-hmm.
discover it. But if I had had some persons to talk to about the pressure there was, I might have discovered it before I went had this sickness."
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think it's wonderful that you're willing to share your story. And I'm just really happy that you discovered for yourself, no wives had to tell you, but you discovered your own strength and your own pride in just owning your own vulnerability. And I love that you're seeing how that sets other people free to just be truthful about what they're going through in life. Because it isn't normal for us to put up with stress all of the time. Even you as an athlete, you would probably take breaks, right? You know how to rest the body when you've been working. So I think it's a beautiful way for you to teach other people that you can respect your mind, respect your body, and your limits without it having to seem like you're weak or you're a failure.
And that's, as you said here, it's exactly what I want to do. This new passion that I had taken to me, saying, "Can I just help one employee or one person?"
Yes.
Not to get stressed. Then my hands will be over my head, because then I have done something good to this, if you can say, world. And I'll work with going out with lectures to companies and try to tell them to prevent stress, because to handle stress, that's a technique to get out of it.
Yeah.
It's hard and it's not fun, but if we could start preventing it, like illness and sickness, then it would be so much better.
Yeah.
And those kind of lectures, it's really good to come out and tell about it. Because you can see by the audience that there's someone taking, "Oh, that was really good. I will think about what he said." And that's what make my life so much worth going out and tell people about something.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, Jesper, I want to thank you again for being willing to share your story in this interview and in the book, Time to Rise. So folks, if you would like to book a session or get Jesper to come and speak to your group or your organization, you can find him online at jesperpilgaard.dk And I'll have that written below the video and in the description so that you can find him. And once again, I just want to thank you for your courage and your authenticity, because it really does show the rest of the world that just because you've fallen, just because you've broken down, you can still get back up. And now truly is your time to rise. Get your copy of Time to Rise and enjoy free gifts with your purchase. Visit timetorise.me and buy the book anywhere books are sold. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Andrea. And did you know? I'm on the radio daily. Visit AmericaOutloud.com to download the Talk Radio app.
I'd like you to meet Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, police expert, and weekly columnist on America Out Loud. Dr. Martinelli, from a law enforcement perspective, what's the biggest change we've seen in policing today?
More connection with the community. There are good changes and not so good changes. You know, our crime rate in the United States has gone up, and the motivation of officers, because of what we refer to as the Ferguson effect, have caused officers not to be as proactive in looking for danger signs and criminal activity as before. A lot of that has become political. And so it's sort of a symbiotic relationship. When you disincentive officers, they're not out there proactively looking for the criminals like they were before, because they're afraid of getting into trouble.
As a prolific author and regular contributor on America Out Loud, how can you use your voice to change the narrative in the public sphere?
Well, you know, I always say that the truth will set you free, and without truth, there is no justice. And we need to have a unified response. That's the only way that we're going to keep all of us safe out there.
Well, we're excited you're here, and we hope you'll share with your friends, family, and associates. You can get our apps on Android or Apple. We stream 24/7. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Have you been dreaming of getting your own radio or podcast show out on the airwaves? Well, listen up. It's Dr. Andrea here. I don't know if you know this, but I've had a fun and fabulous 20-year career in professional broadcast media, including my own shows on the Discovery Channel and multiple appearances on The Oprah Winfrey Show, CNN, Thrive Global, and The Huffington Post. Now, a great deal of my work is bringing small business owners to the global stage with personal branding, publishing, and media production. And with my daily talk radio show on America Out Loud called Liberate Your Authentic Self, we're providing emerging talent with a place to be seen and heard around the world, but also on American talk radio networks such as iHeartRadio. But what you may not know is that after just 18 months, at America Out Loud, we have a monthly reach of 1 million listeners. So it's an amazing place to grow your reach. After airing on the radio, all of our shows are distributed to the major podcast networks, including iTunes, Stitcher, and more. And many hosts are enjoying between 10 and 30,000 downloads of each of their podcast episodes. And now it's time for network expansion and time for new talent. Starting this fall, we are expanding our weekday and weekend programming to include shows about a variety of topics. This is only for a limited time, and we're only taking on a handful of new talent. So if you think that hosting your own radio show could be the next big move for your visibility, and if you'd like to boost your reach, then I'd love to talk with you. Just send an email to drandrea@americaoutloud.com. You can host your own show. Host your own talk radio show and podcast on America Out Loud. Weekend or weekday slots are available. All shows are professionally produced with music and include social media promotion. Submit your own blog posts or articles for the network website for added branding and visibility. If this sounds like something you would love to do, then please do let me know so I can discuss it further with you. reach me at drandrea@americaoutloud.com. And let's talk about your exciting future on the airwaves.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.